here's what I want to say. God spoke a very simple word to me during the week. And so today is part teach and part just kind of like actually just what I feel God is saying. The simple word that God spoke to me is this: winter is over. Winter is over. Write it down. Think it through. Start and pray it through. It's so simple, but one season is ending, thank you, and a new one is beginning. Winter is over. Now, this is a word for your life, and it's a word for this church. The impact of winter being over for your life will affect the life of this church, but it was such a simple word when I was sitting during the week, and I shared it with a couple of guys, and I said, I just feel God saying winter's over. In Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 22, we read this. Let's read them together. For everything there's a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. In verse 5, it says, there's a time to break down and a time to build up. Now, here's the incredible thing about winter for me. I love people who have got green fingers. I can kill any plant that you set in our house, guaranteed within a week. You know those indestructible ones in Tesco's? You don't need to water them, don't need light, they don't need anything. You can put them in a washing machine and for 50 cycles and they come out in the still. I can kill those suckers because I have got the gift of anti-gardening. And so the point for me, I would love to go along because Chris would have his greatest challenge ever trying to get me to keep a plant alive for a week. I hate gardening. It's got absolutely no interest in it. I can just about cut my grass, but I love to look out on beautiful gardens. So Penny this week has been planting like a champion. Percy Thrower, eat your heart out as she's gone. It keeps coming in every day with like trays of these plant things. And I'm thinking, God love them, they're having a chance. They're having a chance. But here's the things about in plants and in nature. When you're in winter, it looks very, very barren, doesn't it? Everything looks dead. It looks like there's nothing going on. There's a lack of fruit around the place. There's barrenness everywhere that you look. And winter can be a really hard season to get through. Personally, I can't stick it. I'm a spring and summer guy. I could live in that continually. 28 degrees last week in Spain, and I was laughing. It was not that I saw any of it. I was looking outside from the end, serving the Lord. But the thing is this. There are seasons, and it's normal. It's all part of the process. Sometimes we get freaked out whenever we look around and we say, look, there's nothing happening. This is a bit dead. And what God said to me is this. There has to be a season in your life and in the life of a church where things die so that they may be brought back to life. It's perfectly normal. But I felt in my spirit this week, the Lord say this. And it wasn't like a super excited, I'm not going, da-da-da-da, trumpet. It was a quiet word. Winter. Winter's over. And so I want to encourage you this morning, and I want to say this. There is a time when we may think that every season lasts forever, but in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5, it says there's a time to break down, and today God says this is a time to build. So I'm speaking to you now. In your life, I believe that in this church, and if you're part of this church, this is a time for you to invest. It's a time for you to build, and it is a time for you to sow, because winter is over. Now, the interesting thing about seasons passing is our garden with kids, and we're still in the kind of post-dog era, you know, where they eat everything, dig everything. And, you know, sometimes I cut the grass then, go, you know, as they disappear down a four-foot hole that the dog was trying to dig its way to Australia. We have all of that stuff going on in our garden at the minute. And the interesting thing that I felt this week was the Lord say this, just like if I want to see it come the end of spring and the start of summer in my garden, color and beauty and texture, if I want to look out, Penny has got to sow now, all right? She's got to do it because there is no point in going, God, this is in my heart and I love it, so I'm going to sit on my backside and just pray that somehow you magically send me Alan Titchmarsh to do my garden for me. Do you know that we live in that spiritual state at times? And God says, no, 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 there's a time for everything. We have been in winter. Physically, out there, we've been in winter, okay? We're coming into spring, but in the spiritual sense, I believe there's a good timing for it because God's saying winter is finished. But this is a time to build. You see, just because the seasons change don't mean that you will get the benefit of them. Seasons will change, but I'm talking about your personal life now and your breakthrough. This is a time to build. And so that is going to be my challenge over the next few weeks. Some of us pray for our beautiful gardens, but we invest nothing. That's laziness and that's presumption. That's not grace. There's a time to break down and a time to build. So this is a prophetic word. The season, to summarize, is this. Right now, this is a time for planting and for building. It's a time for planting and for building. Because the Lord said to me, Andrew, if you want to live in the beautiful garden, this is a time to build. Because I'm changing the season. And what we plant now and what you invest now, you will see the return for it, says God. But you first got to plant and sow. I don't want to just go through this year, and I don't want us to go through this year just kind of presuming on the goodness and the grace of God in a way which he doesn't intend. Some of us can be quite lazy when it comes to our faith, can't we? Minimal investment, but seeking maximum return. I just felt the Lord encourage me to say, no, 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 winter's over. The barrenness is coming to an end. And the things, when seasons start to change, you can look outside and it can feel cold. It can look one way for a period of time still. But the point is, it's changing. And so wise men and women know when the thing starts to change, that's the time to sow. Isn't that right? You can sow in winter and sow in fall, but apparently, according to the number of plants that my wife has bought, spring is a good time to put stuff in the ground. Is that right? Percy. That's right. It's your new name. In Isaiah 43, I love these verses. It says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God speaks at the start of a season. And he says, don't live in the season that's past, because I'm doing something new. You can't move into a new season. You can't go into spring and summer wearing your winter coat. When you're in a particular season, what you do is you get ready. You're ready for that season, don't you? You have your welly boots, you have your, all this kind of stuff. And we do that in a spiritual sense. Some I've felt for me kind of like in, not limbo, but sort of head down, just keep going sort of mode. And that's flipping hard work. When there's a lack of fruit at times, things are barren. You look around, you go, flip, there's not much green here. It just seems pretty brown. And so you get ready for the season, and you kind of get through the season. And the Lord says, actually, now I need you to forget that because I'm changing it. And I'm going to change the season to one where as you start to sow and invest, you're going to see a return. So that's my challenge to you. It's my encouragement to you this morning. The Lord says, winter is over. Winter is over. Now, I want to have a look this morning at it very quickly at a story from the Bible, which will help to illustrate what I'm going to talk about over the next few weeks. So turn up Matthew chapter 4, and honestly, next week, please bring your Bibles. It just gives me faith that you're Christians and you actually read the thing. You know, you can't live off my revelation. Do you know that? You've got to read it for yourself and allow the Lord to speak to you. Don't think that I'm going to come and be able to spoon feed you every week with the word. I can't do it. You'll not grow that way. You need to take the word and read it for yourself and digest it. So it's important to have one and to bring it with you. So here's the thing. I totally believe that in this season that we are going to take this message of God's unmerited love and favor, and we're going to continue to get it around the world. See, when I was in Spain last week, well, the thing that really encouraged me, like I said, was this, was whenever you meet ordinary people, most of them English, but apart from that, it was all right, okay? Most of them English, a few Scots and a few Welsh, and all the rest of it, and lots of life experience and lots of stuff. And all I simply told him was about the unmerited favor of God and the grace of God. And you see the impact that that has. It was fantastic. And it helped me to go, I believe in what we are called to as a church. It's a big dream. You know, I'm going to give you during the week, if you're on our email, some facts and figures about what God's done even in the last 12 months in the church and through the church. But the point for me is I want us to understand that as we go into this new season, this is not about us. We have to see beyond ourselves. Part of the investing and the sowing is to understand that we will forever be stuck in the same place, and we will forever be stuck going around the same circles unless we get a bigger vision for what we're called to. You know, the thing for me last week, just spending a few days away with a totally different group of people, made me understand that this is a big world with lots of people who need to hear the message that God is good and is for them. Sick people last week, people struggling with suicide, depression and anxiety, all the stuff that we see here week in, week out, I was dealing with it in Spain as well, but it was the grace of God when people encountered that the tears started to come, that the healing started to come. And I thought, God, I need to stop worrying about me and what I think and how I feel, and I need to sow and invest in this season so that there is a harvest of people who come into the kingdom of God. We've got to do it. If you're stuck in your finance, if you're stuck in your ministry, if you're stuck in your relationships, if you're stuck in jobs, I want to say unclog the system. Start and be intentional about blessing. Not seeking it for yourself, but start and be intentional about how you be a blessing. I don't get too many amens for that because it's no, God, hold on. I've got lots of stuff that you need to do for me. Honestly, this is a time to sow. This is a time to build. God knows we have had a time to be broken down. And God says, this is now a time to build again. But the building will not just be about you and your stuff. The building will be about the vision and the mission of this church, and which is to see people rooted and grounded in the love of God. With such a better, more compelling way to live. Last week, I felt, Lord, you know, the sozo that we talk about, fullness in every area, freedom, life, healing, wholeness, prosperity, joy, and peace, that is the only kingdom that I want to give my life for. I don't want to give my life for anything else. I know that that's a supernatural kingdom. I'm not going to be able to access it through rational thinking, believing, or living, but I want to take what you've started in here, God, and I want to sow into it and sow into it and sow into it so that we see a harvest of righteousness. Do you know if you're stuck? I'm going to encourage you today, if you're still stuck going around the same circles, it's maybe because you just think about yourself. Oh, come on, give me a bless me, Jesus loves me word. Yes, he does love you. He does want to bless you, but he wants to expand in your heart and your mind for what this is about. Because it gets awful flipping miserable when it's just about you. Doesn't it? This is eternal life. It says in John 17:3, that we may know God, know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is not just for you. I have such a thing in my heart at the minute to go, God, I don't want to rob myself of the future that you have for me, the promise that you have for me, because I'm just too darn selfish to see past my own nose. Straight enough talking? Anyone feeling a wee bit bad? Just a wee tiny bit? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. We never do that. It's the goodness of God that leads us to change. But I want you to start and think. The season that you're coming into, God said, is about increase. It's a change in season. It's about breakthrough. But the key is this. When God broke things down in this church, he didn't intend just to rebuild it the same way. You get that? He intended to rebuild it differently. I'm totally open for that. I'm totally open for the process at the start of this season to go, God, there was a time to break down, and this is now a time to build. What is it in your life that God needs to break down so that he can rebuild? I think for most of us, the area of pride and self-centeredness, and God, this is all about me, is one of the biggest things in our lives that needs to be broken down right now. To give a bigger vision for the kingdom, a bigger vision for this world, a bigger vision for the heart of God for people who are sick, dying, and diseased today, so that they might encounter the God of truth who will heal them, restore them, and love them. That's a big vision for me. That's what we're building here. We're not building me and mine and my breakthrough and some kind of consumer Christianity. I want us to be very intentional about seeking the blessing of God. But I think God is saying, you need to take what I've given you and you need to sow and you need to build because this is the time for it. You get it? So, I think this week I realized that somebody is going to stand on your breakthrough many years from today. What you decide to sow beyond yourself today, somebody someday is going to stand in the goodness of that. You know, when we had Vernon's testimony a few weeks ago, I stand today on the goodness of people who got around my dad and said, you'll not die, we're going to pray. That's a biggie, isn't it? And let's not just gloss over those things. I have kids today because people in our life came alongside and said, no, you will have family. And your breakthrough, other people will be able to stand on that. And last week I was able to minister to people going through the same thing. Really, really touching moment, actually. And I felt God say to me, you see, whenever you break through in something and you get through in something, other people are going to come along and they're going to stand on your breakthrough. And they're going to be blessed the same way because you stood and you sowed. And do you get me? And all of a sudden I thought, God, my life is part of something so much bigger. And every time I start to feel a little bit inward, I start to feel a little bit sorry for myself, I start to feel angry, I start to get all that, I just think, God, I need more of an encounter, more awakening, and more increase in my life. And I need you to step into my life every day, and I need to decide that I'm going to be intentional about being about more than me. That's what I'm trying to say. Why? Because this is a time to build. Whenever you build something, everybody gets the good of it. Whenever you sow, we all get the good of it. If everyone is sowing and building, we all get the benefit. Sow in your own little patch if you want, just there in front of you. And that's what you'll reap. When we all sow together and we build a place and a kingdom where many, many thousands of men and women can encounter the love of God, that's something much better. So have you got Matthew chapter 4? Let's go through this quickly. We're going to read just 18 to 21. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. This is a really simple point, but I want to bring it out at the start of this series. Fishermen, these were ordinary blokes. The thing I love about the Bible is it takes away the superheroes and it leaves you with ordinary men. It takes away the clever, educated people and it leaves you with ordinary people like you and me. So these guys are fishermen. They were ordinary men. They were not religiously trained and they were not the religious cream of the crop. Because how do we know that? At this stage, for Peter and for Andrew and for all the other guys to be back fishing, what it meant was that the religious system had passed them over. Normally, if you were a wee fella, you would have been taken away, and they would have sifted you out to see if you had what it took to be in the following of a rabbi. And if you couldn't make it, if you couldn't learn the Torah, if you couldn't interpret the laws, what would happen is, through a process from about 7 or 8 years of age, they would just sift you out, and if you were no good, you went back to the family business. So basically, over their lives, they're just ordinary fellas. They're back in the family business, doing the ordinary things of life. They're working, they're earning a living. When you read Luke's version of this story, you see that they were actually struggling, so things were not going that great. But the incredible thing is, whenever you encounter Jesus in the midst of ordinary things, it's never the same again. This is what this season is for me. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, the point is that if you will allow Jesus to speak to you today and you will encounter him in the ordinariness, you might have had over your life people said, no, you're not qualified. You're not good enough. You'll never be like the spiritual people. You'll never see the same things that the religious people will see. You'll never. Jesus today steps right into that and says, listen, in real ordinary life, I want you to discover what the the call is I have over you. We haven't been this way before as a church. For many of us, Holy Spirit encounters or new seasons of sowing beyond ourselves are just foreign to us because we've lived our lives for so long making it about me and me alone. But I'm saying this, the encounters that you will have and the kingdom that you will experience will be beyond these walls as you sow and you invest into the lives of the people around you. When you invite them to come into the presence of God so that they can be encouraged. Whenever you go past your comfort zone and your embarrassment about being a Christian, about going to church. Honestly, when you get past that, what you will see is in the ordinariness of life, not the Sunday morning, give me a wee tingle, God, and so I can go out of here. You'll have power in encounters when you're doing the normal things. But what? It takes a man or a woman to look beyond themselves. Because this is what happens here with Peter. Jesus comes along and he says, follow me. Now, whenever a rabbi said that, it was an incredible thing. So Jesus is a recognized rabbi. He's a teacher of the law. And he comes along to ordinary men who are mending nets. And he says, follow me. Now, what did he mean? Well, in Aramaic, that expression, follow me, was an incredible endorsement. These guys were not under any other religious schools. They were not under the auspices of any other rabbi. And when a rabbi would come along and say, follow me, when he called young men, what he in fact was saying is, you can be like me. You can do what I do. You can be who I am. And so all of a sudden, in the ordinariness of life, Jesus comes along to these guys and he said, listen, you have been discounted by religious culture, but you can do what I do. Follow me. Go in my footsteps, look at what I do, and do the same, and you will encounter power. All of a sudden, in John 14, 12, we read, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works. So the word that Jesus is saying to you is this. In this season, if you want to encounter the presence and the power of God, if you want to see greater things than you've ever lived before, if you want to break out of the humdrum and the same old, same old, same old, if you don't want to live life ordinary, but you want to have a new normal of supernatural experience, then what you're going to have to understand is when Jesus comes along and he says this is a season to invest and to build and to get stuck in, you're going to have to go, okay, I'm going to follow you. If I want to be like you, I'm going to have to follow you. We cannot afford to sit. Be blessed week after week. Say, Jesus, just move this one forward. And understand that whenever Jesus comes to your life, he said the call of God to follow him is, do what I do, you will be who I am, and you will see even greater things than what I have done. But you got to follow, a.k.a. time to build. There got to be movement and momentum. Jesus comes along, he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Let me ask you a question. What do you really think your life's about? Right now, if I was to put a gun to your head and say, what is it really about? Because what Jesus does is something really incredible here. He comes along to them like you, he does this morning. He doesn't talk them down in terms of what they're involved in. Jesus was not making a comment on being a fisherman. He wasn't making a comment on any other way to earn a living. What he was simply doing was stepping in and saying, you know, it's not that what you do is of no consequence. It's really important. Catching fish is brilliant. I want to say to you, whatever you do every day, it should be good. It should be fulfilling. It should bring you proper reward for your time, your talents, and your effort. I totally believe that. But when you bring Jesus into the equation, he expands your view of what your life is about. He starts to say, okay, you can fish if you want. Keep going through the normal every day. Keep going through the pulling up the nets, mending the nets, struggling along. But when you encounter Christ, he starts to put a bigger vision in your life. If you don't have a bigger vision for what you're about every day, then get on your hands and knees before the Lord and ask him to show you. Do you ever get up in the morning and think there's more than this? I don't want to live like this. There has to be more. You're hardwired that way for a different kind of living. And Jesus wants to expand your vision and say, listen, at the minute you're just sowing here, you're just fishing here, but I want to show you that the encounters and the building is something much bigger that is going to take you way beyond what you're doing right now. So it is time to build. Follow me. Stop being stuck. Men, I want to say to you, you're here and you're in relationship with Jesus to enjoy the kingdom of heaven and to bring heaven to earth. But I think particularly for men, we need a bigger Holy Spirit birth vision for the life that is inside of us. We need to lead in this. So whatever you think the point of your life is, it could be husband, father, friend, what you do every day, I think God says that's fine, but there's a much bigger point to you today and what you're called for as part of this church. We are called to make an impact for the kingdom of God, and that will only happen when we get a big vision that our lives are part of something bigger, and Jesus comes along and says, I have so much more, but you've got to follow me. You know, I think Peter could have sat on his backside and went, nah, Simon as he is there. Thanks very much, but no thanks. Lovely kind of thought, but not for me. Don't we all love the stories of Peter? He goes on to whack people's ears off, and he denies Jesus. He sees incredible things happening in Pentecost, thousands of people saved. His shadow falls on people who are sick, and they get well. Isn't that brilliant? Sign me up for all that. Give me all of that. I'll even do all the complete mess-ups that he made if I can see that glimpse of the kingdom. Isn't it fantastic? Don't we all love those stories? Who would not want to walk past somebody today and just because your shadow hits them, they get healed? No, seriously. Anybody not want that? Some of you aren't sure. You need to wise up. Listen, I would that'd be the coolest thing ever. You know what I mean? But you know, pure Benny Hinn style. Ba-da-da. All right? Benny Hinn, not Benny Hill. Made me laugh. Because there was a guy last week at the conference who was a big Benny Hill fan. Not Hinn Hill. And I had a great conversation with him about it anyway. But the point is, don't we all love those stories? Yeah. When did it start for Simon? Who would become Peter? Follow me. Time to build. The call for Peter as he would become was this. What you're doing is fine. I'm calling you to something so much more incredible, with so much more impact. And if Peter had made a decision that day when he heard the call of God to go, well, I'm not sure, we would never have seen those stories written. There's a time to break down. There's a time for winter when things underneath the surface are just going through the motions. They're lying dormant. They're going through basic life support. But every time winter comes, God promises that it's only a season. And we need to catch this season now to go, right now is the time to sow and to build. I hope that God drops that into your heart in some way. When I think of lives and destinies and futures and families encountering the power of God Almighty and heaven itself, not through fantastic worship but or great times of prayer, but because when you go out this week, you bring the kingdom of God and you bring the power of Christ with you. Whether you're sitting on the bus, whether you're in the office, whether you're on the phone, and we hear testimony after testimony about the kingdom of God breaking through, I think, man, that's life worth living. But here's the rub. It ain't going to happen just because. It's going to happen whenever God's people go, I hear the call of God and it's time to follow. It's a time to build. You know the interesting thing about building? My dad's a builder. And that gene definitely skipped a generation because I am what you might call totally useless. I'm looking at Darren down here who's also very skilled in this area. And he has many stories he could probably tell about my ineptitude with anything, really. You know, absolute rubbish. But building's hard, isn't it? I mean, even if you know what you're doing, the physical aspect of building can be hard work. I'm all for resting in the presence and the power of God and him build, but it does require that you do something. This is sometimes what skips the church today. God, 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 will you do? No, you have done. So what do I now do in response? This will require something of you. There will be a cost for you. For Peter, he had no clue what he was heading up for. He didn't know what his future would look like. He didn't know what. All he heard was a call on one day on a beach in the middle of his ordinary life saying, follow me. It's time to build. So that's the call that Jesus had. He was building this kingdom and bringing this kingdom and started with follow me. Do not be surprised that over the next few weeks, if you are challenged to do things that you've never done before, when I cut across your comfort zone of I'm here for a good blessing and then I'm away home, thank you very much. When we start to cut across that, don't be surprised. It's not being harsh or unkind. It's calling out the season that God has put us in to go, it's time to build. You know, honestly, I'll tell you this story. We encounter all sorts of stuff in this church, but I love you people, genuinely. See, being away in Spain, apart from, maybe because I was with English people all weekend, hello, mate, all right, mate, and you're like, oh, and you know what I mean? It gets tiring after a while, doesn't it? I started every session by saying this, you lot talk funny, not me, all right? So don't give me any ear, I can't understand you, mate. Because just listen harder, all right? And I did, because because we tend to like change our eights to eight and all that. And I think, I don't even sound like that. Shut up. You know, so I just made it clear at the start. See you English people, flipping wise up. Sorry, love, you know. But. You know, I actually thought that was a bra you were throwing at me there. It's like I know you like my talks, but flippin' Nora. Steady on, sweetheart. Just caught a red glimpse going past me. I thought, well, I hadn't rehearsed that. Oh, what was I saying? I'm getting a hot flush. That's what happens when you're 40, your hormones and all go. I know. Gee whiz, get on the HRT soon. So, I have no idea what I was talking about, praise God. Now, the point is this, we have, one of the things I understand is that we encounter lots of different attitudes in church, and I love you, so I genuinely do. That's what I was saying about being away with English people, do your head in. But this is a new season. We're not going to rebuild what was before. Winter's over. It's time to build, but God's building something new. It's going to be in your hearts and your minds and your attitudes, but it's going to call out something different in you than what we've ever done before. I take abuse from people in this church because they won't pick up their coffee cups. They'll leave it for somebody else to do. That can't be right, is it? Can we talk as a family for a minute? That can't be right. Utter selfishness. We're not building that, folks. This is a kingdom where lives and destinies are in the balance, where people are dying and killing themselves because they've got no hope. And I cop a lot of attitude because somebody won't pick up a coffee cup that they happen to leave at their backsides. How dare you ask me to pick up a coffee cup? Welcome to my world. I'm not building that. It's going to cost. Now, most of you people here are phenomenal, and I love yous. But there is a cost to this kingdom building. It's not buy now, never pay. When Jesus says, follow me, it means you have to leave some things behind, whether it's attitudes, whether it's ways of doing things, whether it's whatever it happens to be. But do you know what the interesting thing is? Whenever the call came, what we read here is immediately they left and they followed him. It's a very interesting one. I'm going to say to you today, I believe that the presence and the power of God and the promises of God, what we've talked about since the start of the year, will lead you on from where you are today. You will find breakthrough and new fruitfulness in your life. But for these guys, they had to leave behind their way of doing life, their way of thinking, their way of providing, because when they encountered Jesus and he said, follow me, they caught a bigger purpose for their lives. What I'm trying to say is this. There's always a degree of separation from your past whenever you catch what God has for you. whenever God comes along and says, follow me, there will be a degree of separation from where you have been. That's the cost for a lot of people. Whether it's heart attitude, mind attitudes, whether it's, I don't know, whatever it happens to be, whether it's laziness, whether it's fear, whenever you hear the call, follow me, there will be a cost because you need to leave something behind. Do you know what? Face it now, because if you don't want to face it, you'll just stay on the beach mending nets and miss the purpose that God has for you, which would be really, really, really sad whenever he goes, winter is over, this is a time to build. I want you to have an experience, and I want to have more of an experience of the fullness of the kingdom of God. I want my kids to grow up experiencing and living in the power of God. I want them to stand on my shoulders and go way further than I could ever hope or dream. I genuinely believe that. So I can't stay on the beach and wash nets. My thinking needs to change, my mindsets, habits, attitudes, opinions, fears, anxiety, worries, pride. My ideas need to be laid down so that I can follow Jesus. Huge personal investment, people. Peter would go on to have a huge impact, but it started with his decision to follow. So if you're thinking this morning, because this is normally what goes on when you hear words like this, is what does it mean for me? What about my reputation? What about my time? What about my life? What will my family think? What about me? 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 I want to say to you, look, honestly, you're not going to know the end result. You're not going to know what God can bring about in terms of fruitfulness and return until you stop with that way of thinking and go, this is a time to build. I'm challenging you today to think much bigger than yourself. Have a look at these empty seats here today. Who are the people that you know, if they encountered the presence and the power of God and heard the grace of God? Who do you know who's sick today who could be sitting in these seats? It matters to me, not because I need to have a full church to preach to, not at all. It matters to me because you've got the power of God, you've got the message of God, you've got the life of God, and there's people who need to hear it. You know, Adam and I were talking during the week, and one of the things that I'm going to talk about next week is, by the end of this year, I want to see this place absolutely full again. But it's not going to happen because God's going to bring the Ulster buses out to the front, you know, with people queuing around the block. Power encounters outside of these four walls when you get a bigger vision for your life to go, my breakthrough, my need, my blessings on the other side of sowing intentional blessing into somebody else. Man, that's a challenge.